First of all, let me say I want to give honor to God. I'm grateful that Marlon, grateful for a friend such as Marlon. Marlon called me about a week and a half ago. Told him God put me on his heart to speak today. And Marlon and I have been friends for over 20 years now, and I've seen changes in his life and he's seen changes in mine. But the first thing I want to say I thank God for who he is, for what he's done, for what he's doing. And more importantly, I want to give the pastor and the first lady of this house honor. And also, I want you guys know I am Minister Arnold Smith from Divine Faith Ministry International, from the Bishop Donald E. Battle. And I'm over the youth ministry as well as a campus minister at our McDonald location as well. First, let me start by saying, Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I bless your name. I give you glory, honor, and praise. I thank you for the youth that are here. I pray your anointing over their lives. I pray for their families, Father God, for whatever that's the gift they have in them, Father God, that gift continue to be nurtured and exposed so that they can be used. It can be used to glorify you in everything that they do and everything that they say. So let them walk according to your word and to your will. And even if they falter, Father God, let them not waddle in their mistakes, but let them jump up and stand and shout that they still have the victory and that they can repent and ask for forgiveness. So this we say in your son Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, I'll tell you guys, I'm not going to keep you long, but I'm going to tell you what I want you to do is I like participation. So do we have any, let me see, how many of y'all remember going to the movies? I see some people close to my age. Look, he's like, right, I went to the movie last night. I see some people my age. Y'all remember going to the movies and the movie theater? Did y'all remember seeing, like, throughout the movie, they'll pop up, like, popcorn and Coca-Cola signs throughout the movie? How many of you remember that when we used to be at the movies? Y'all know that's illegal now, right? If you've been to the movie, you don't see that no more, do you? They stopped that. Why you think they stopped that? I got some participation on the front way. You don't remember. You don't remember. This was in the 80s. They stopped it because you know what they were doing? What were they doing? Come on, some of my old 1980 people, y'all remember, what were they doing? Subliminal messages. And what was those? You weren't even thirsty, but when you saw that Coke, and you was like, hey, you know what? Go get me a Sprite. Didn't want nothing when you first came in. Then they pop the popcorn. You see it, smell it. You smell it. You hear it. You ain't hungry. But you know what? It ain't going to hurt. Go and get a bag of popcorn. Before you know it, you done spent $17. But you enjoyed that popcorn, and you didn't eat the whole bag because you really didn't want it. And I'm gonna share something with you guys. I want y'all to participate. Watch what the kids do. How many people in here drive? What you driving? You drive a motorcycle? Make sure when I see you, I want to see the color of your motorcycle because I don't want to be on the road when you're on the road. Anybody see this word? Y'all can see this word? What is it? Spot. Now I'm gonna tell you, every time I do this, I want you to say what? Say it again. Every time I do this, I want you to do what?
Spot.
All right. Now, so every time I pull the paper up, you have to say spot. No matter whether I'm talking or not, you still need to say spot. See, sometimes, see what I'm saying? I got some good participation here. See what I'm saying? Even the adults didn't jump on it. He got it. But even if I'm still talking and you see the word go up, I still want you to say it because what I want you to understand is that oftentimes, this is what the world does. They tend to throw things our way, and we often just, we go right along. You see commercials, things that you know you don't need, and you also see, now when you see a green light, what are you supposed to do? When you're at a green light, what are you supposed to do? When you're at a green light, what are you supposed to do? Oh, what are you supposed to do at a green light? But what are you supposed to do at a green light? Oh, let me tell you what conditional, I like that. See, they good. See, this is actually great. I'm glad they sitting here. They pay attention in class. So parents, reward them. Let me tell you what that does. That's funny because exactly what they were doing is exactly what the world do to us. Even when life goes on, the world flashes things in your eyes. And I'm going to tell you who's behind that. We all know it's the Prince of Darkness. He's flashing things. So what you're doing, we're getting so caught up in the things that we're seeing that we're ignoring simple subliminal messages that are conditioning us to behave a certain way. So what he does, guess what he does? He changes our reality. Have you ever gone to a different environment? Anybody ever been to Wisconsin? When you went to Wisconsin, was there anything like Georgia? Absolutely not. It's totally different. But if people in Wisconsin come to Georgia, guess what they think? This ain't home. This is something totally different. And it ain't that it's a bad place. It's just that they're conditioned to believe where they are is their reality. And this is what happens. So parents, let me give you some good advice here. And I know many of us know this. When we send our kids off to school, there's an expectation, right? Now, do I trust a teacher to raise my child? Can we say that some teachers are raising children? Why? Because when they come home, are parents taking over? See, the problem is that the kids, when they leave home, guess who they remember? The last voice they heard telling them what to do. It's the teacher. If the parents are not there to continue to draw them out of that environment, to let them know this is, it's a learning process, it's a step that you're going through, that you're being educated, but this is not your foundation. So you can't let the school create the reality for the child. So when they come home, guess what they think? Well, that's what Miss Johnson told me. Hold up, let's slow down, son. I love Miss Johnson too, but Miss Johnson ain't your mama. So I want you to, and we have to get them to, they got to change their condition. It's called, I want y'all to remember this word, it's called condition. See, what, and y'all remember in the Bible when Adam and Eve were walking and Eve said, you know what? We ought to try to get, let's get, can we have some from that fruit, that tree? Adam said, no. We were told not to. See, I'm going to tell you what God told Adam. He actually told Adam not to eat of the tree. But you know what Eve said? He said that don't touch the tree. If y'all go back and read it, Eve said, well, we can't touch that tree. That ain't what God said. He said, don't eat of the tree. But what Satan told them, said, well, guess what? You won't surely die. God has set an expectation. Satan come in and planted a seed, and now he's trying to change the condition of their reality. Now, you mean to tell me who made us? Who created us? I love this crowd down here. I'm standing over here from now. Where my money at? Boy, I wish I had some money. And that's, I love that. If God created us, who know us better than we know ourselves? So if God knows us better than ourselves, why do we try to tell God what we need? Why is it we always trying? I know the Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. But the problem is you asking for things you already got privilege to. So you mean to tell me I'm a blood-born believer? That means that everything that God owns, let me check the deed. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and all that dwell therein. Okay, I am one of those that dwell therein. So therefore, if the earth is the Lord, he said, I'm his child because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The blood of Jesus permeates through my body. So Jesus is my brother. So everything he gets, I have. So why am I asking for a car when God owns everything? So what I should be saying is that, God, I'm ready for that car that you had for me. Do y'all remember the prodigal son? He didn't go and ask for something that he said, what was mine, now I want it. Isn't that what he said? He said, okay, Daddy, I'm ready. What you had for me, I want it. This is what God wants from us. Stop asking God for things that you already got privilege to. You going to my God, can I have a house? Why are you asking for me, can you have a house, when you own everything because I own it? Just tell me you ready for what's yours. Ooh, goodness, that good. I got to turn around and cut that steak myself. That's some good eating. So that means that, hey, when y'all at school, do y'all pay attention?
Yes.
Y'all do?
Yes.
Did y'all pass? Ooh.
Yes.
I was about to say now. Come on now.
You
what?
I'm going to middle school.
You, what?
I'm
say what? And you, what? Hold up. Third grade. What grade?
Second?
Second. And what grade? Middle school? Come on, give me a grade. Sixth grade, because see, I'm not used to the middle school stuff. We ain't have middle school. We had like junior high. We had junior high. We ain't have middle school. They done chopped it all up. I'm sorry. Huh? What grade? My son to my father. I guess I don't know if you want my con- anyway. What I'm telling you is that when our kids are in school, and I like to get back to conditional formatting, and what happens is that, and it is a format, because what happens, the kid, there's a format that's set to try to condition the mindset of our youth. And if you notice today, how many of y'all, what's the nay-nay? Oh, look at that.
Are you serious? Slow down. Look at him. Now, I gotta be careful. I asked the front row. What's amazing is that, see, y'all see how quick the kids respond to that. Y'all see that? Now, it's certain things when I'm gonna tell you, the world is so crafty. They continue to play things. And even in school, if y'all don't know it, they're playing this stuff in school. There are some schools that play certain things. And I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, because they're trying to get kids to be, you know, loose and they want them to have fun. But don't y'all think we can have fun praising God? Have we been having fun? How many of us, since we've changed our life, accepted Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, have been more excited now than we've ever been? I'm talking about now. Because guess what? You ain't got to hide no more. You ain't got to lie. You ain't got to put a lock on your phone. You ain't got to stop. Let me change my... Okay. You can get it. You won't get this here. You can get that to my wife. See, I ain't afraid to get my wife my phone. What? Look at all that. Somebody said, the pastor did it. Give me your phone. And I done started something. I'm passing phones around. And I say that because I'm going to tell you something. What I understand is that for a long time, Satan had me convinced that I would never do anything. For a while, Satan had me believing that because I grew up in a small town called Selma, Alabama. He said, don't nobody go out here. Everybody that come out of this town, go to the hammer mill. And that's what they do. He had me convinced that when you graduate from high school, that's all you can do. Just go get a job. And guess who else was telling me that? The people in the town. In their mind, what was that? Was that mine? Oh, I got an alarm on that. You see how that went off? That means he was trying to go somewhere he had no business. And see, what happens is the people of the town and your surroundings, they tell you things, and for so long they keep pounding in your head. And it ain't that you're forcing it back. Guess what? You hear it so much that you just think, if you conditionally start believing it. But I'm so grateful that I have a mother that prayed and loved me enough, and she ain't just take me to church, she drug me to church. And I'm glad that she did, because it got to a point where she no longer had to drag me where I was willing to go, because there are some things I didn't understand. So what she was trying to do is put me in an environment where my mindset would change. So she knew I had to be around people, guess what, whose mind has changed. What does the Bible tell us in Romans? It said, be ye not conformed to the what? To the word, but be ye. Now, do you understand that word transform there means what? Who said that? You better preach, prophetess. Not only does it mean change, but I'm going to give you some Greek terminology here. Anybody ever heard of the word metamorpho? Nope. Metamorpho. Guess where it comes from? Guess where? You ever heard of metamorphosis? Okay, well, I just taught you something. I feel good now. Metamorphosis is what happens when a caterpillar goes through transformation, through change, just as she stated. And what's amazing is that, see, this is the word that they use in the Greek language, is metamorpho, to identify transformation, change. But in the English term, we use the word metamorphosis to identify with change. So when we're talking about conditional formation, I want y'all to remember this. So when a caterpillar changes to a butterfly, what happens to the caterpillar? What relationship does it have? Now, what relationship does the butterfly have with the caterpillar now? You better say it again. They what? They're different. They're so different that when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, it's no longer identified in the same species. Can you think of this? We're talking about a caterpillar when it becomes a butterfly, because that's what we see. When it comes through transition and it changes, it's no longer identified in the same family as a caterpillar. That blew me away. My teachers in school didn't teach me that. They just showed me metamorphosis. But they didn't tell me that once the transformation took place, that a butterfly no longer identifies with a caterpillar. It's been changed. So do you know that when we've been changed, you know your old man, this is good, y'all, is no longer identified with your new man? Meaning when the people that see you that saw you 10 years ago, you changed. they still identifying you with the old man. So when you go to your class reunion, guess what they remember? Girl, I remember when we, yeah, you remember me then, but there's been a change. So the person I am now, you've never met. So let me introduce myself. This is who I am. Why? Because there's been a transformation in my life, meaning that the condition that I was once under has been, this is so good right here. I'm feeding myself right now. I'm hungry. The condition I was once under has been transformed. That means that I no longer think the way I used to think. That means I no longer talk the way I used to talk. And guess what? Them same clothes you got on that you were wearing in 1989, I don't wear them no more. I was trying to get that out of y'all, but some of y'all didn't catch that. There are some people still walking around wearing their Bobby Brown clothes and their hammer pants. They ain't coming back. Trust me, they're not coming back. And I want us to understand from a conditional mindset that we're responsible for changing the atmosphere of our kids. And let me tell you where it starts. And I love this. I like to throw a little Bible trivia. Anybody remember when Jesus was on his way? He was actually passing through a town, and there was a woman with an issue of blood. Anybody remember that? Okay, she pressed, everybody, we know she pressed through the crowd. She wanted to touch Jesus. She spent her money. Her condition got worse, and all of a sudden she made up her mind that if I just touch the hem of his garment, I know that this thing gonna be changed. And her condition did change. But while Jesus was on his way, he's actually going to the house of a little girl who a man came and said, hey, my daughter is sick. I need you to go. That's what he was on. He was on his way. And guess what happened when he got there? When he got there, the Bible said everybody was wailing, crying. Y'all remember that story? And what did Jesus say? He said, this little girl is not dead. She's merely sleeping. And guess what they started doing? I'm going to see what my Bible scholars at. What did the people start doing when Jesus said that the baby, that she was sleeping? They started doing what? That's my son. You better say it. The people start laughing. Now, they were crying when they thought the little girl was dead. But when Jesus came back and said, the little girl is not dead, she's merely sleeping, people start laughing. See, what's amazing is that when something looks one way and you come in and say that ain't where it is, people think you're crazy. See, I'm trying to get our mindset to change, because you know why? In the world setting and in the world system, that's all they saw. But y'all understand that Jesus didn't operate under the world system. So when he saw the little girl, he spoke just the way he was taught and the way he understood that by heaven's system, this girl is not dead. She's merely sleeping. So that's what he was speaking in. And let me tell you how he did this. And I love this. He said, I tell you what. He said, I want the parents to stay, the disciples that were with me. Everybody else need to get out. See, this is what we need to do in our life. When there's people that's hurting and trying to keep you in the condition that you're in, go ahead and tell them politely, hey, I like you, but you need to get out. It's time for you to go. Why? Because you're keeping this atmosphere that I'm in the way it is. I can't move now because the atmosphere won't change. So what Jesus was doing, he said, I got to change this atmosphere, and I only need people here that see what I see. They see this little girl sleeping, so when I tell her to get up, I need her to get up. And I don't need anybody in the room thinking that she's not going to get up. Good God Almighty. So what I'm telling you is that anytime you're around people, and I know we got friends we grew up with, I love them, but if they're going in a different direction than you're going in, you might need to slow down and think about breaking those ties. It is not saying that I'm not going to stop being your friend. I'm still going to love you, but I'm going to love you from a distance because you're going this way and I'm going this way. And there's no way we're going to end up here unless somebody changed their mind. Now, guess what? I'm not going to conform to the world. So, therefore, if you want to continue that way, hey, I'm going to keep praying for you. I'll keep lifting you up, but I'm going to walk in accordance to the word of God. I'm going to walk in accordance to the will of God, meaning my condition has changed, and I'm no longer thinking that way anymore. So, guess what? You can't influence me like you used to. Y'all know as well as I do that our kids are up under so much temptation now. See, parents don't want to be honest, but all kids are being tempted now more than we've ever been tempted. They got social media. They got, it's so many ways to get there. They're taking drugs and they're making them colorful. They're putting them in sweet things. They're adding all these different things to drugs to get to our kids. They're even doing certain things, and I'm telling you, they're even changing the mindset of our kids and I don't like this, but when the kids walk around with their pants hanging down, it gets to a point where they think that it's okay and it's acceptable. If don't nobody ever say anything, to them it is acceptable. It ain't, I care less what the meaning of it is. The bottom line is that it's unacceptable because it is not professional. If you're talking about you want your child to be looked at in a certain way, then guess what? They need to change a certain way. Because if you carry yourself a certain way, that's what type of attention you will get. It's the way you carry yourself. And then that's what you see drawn to you. And what happens is the people of the world try to come in and change your mindset because they remember you used to walk that way. Now, anybody, who in here has never made a mistake? My point exactly. So I like him. He said today? See, that's being honest right there. That's right, this morning. That's true. And I say that because if we get to the point where we don't be honest with our kids as far as what we've come through and the things that we've transitioned from, our kids need to hear that. They see daddy now as a professional. They see daddy now bringing the things home, taking care of the family. They don't remember daddy when daddy was going through. They don't remember daddy when daddy was drinking. They don't remember daddy when he was hanging out. They had never heard that side of daddy. They don't know when daddy was locked up. Oh, see, I just got that, didn't it? They don't remember that because they never saw that. These kids need to understand. I'm telling you, you be careful with your testimony because I'm telling you, that thing is precious. When you share it because there is a motive. Your motive is for people to be delivered, not for you to get attention. That's not what your testimony is for. It's for people to be delivered, for there to be change. And I'm going to tell you something, and I intentionally left it out. She did such a good job reading it. What's your name? Kendallin. Y'all get Kendallin. She did a phenomenal job. She read better than I do. That's why I had her to do that. But I intentionally left out things and that I didn't want to announce because I wanted to bring it up. Because what happens is when people see you a certain way, they think a certain thing. See, I'm about to get my doctorate degree. A couple years ago, I got my MBA. Year before that, I got my bachelor's. And right now, I work in corporate America with a company, The Fresh Market. Anybody ever went to The Fresh Market? I said, love that store. Samples? That's right, eat them. Get them samples. And I'm responsible for the whole southern half of the company. So I got four regional HR managers that report to me. I got an office in Atlanta and an office in Orlando, and I do a lot of traveling, a lot of traveling. And my wife is not too pleased with all the traveling, but she okay with that check when it hits the bank? Okay. So, and because I do that, you know, there are certain people when I walk in a store, because I don't get seen that much, just simply because of my position. So when I walk in a store, some people just, they act a certain way. Because they saying, what Mr. Smith doing here? Because see, I got HR managers that work the regions. So technically, when I go to a store, it's really with them to just walk around. But the thing is that I don't walk around with my title on my sleeve. As a matter of fact, we don't even have titles on our badges. You just have our name. And one thing I do love about that organization that they don't believe in titles. They believe people should get to know you, not your title. And if you understand some companies, they want their title because some people like to know, but they want people to know who they are. So technically, I don't know who you are. I just know your title because that's what I see. But when you walk in the store, you want people to get to know you. But anyway, my reason for saying that is that God has blessed me over the past few years to grow tremendously through corporate America. But see, what people didn't know before that, I was in prison for 4 years. 4 years. Because I thought money was supposed to be gotten a certain way, and I made one foolish mistake. I took money that I knew was stolen. Oh, I'm being honest now. Don't get quiet now. I mean, because the thing is that I ain't afraid to tell people what I went through because I know where I'm at. So I'm going to tell you, and one thing I love about God is one of my favorite quotes that I've used. A friend of mine said some years ago when I was ministering in Charlotte, God doesn't define you where he finds you. Remember that. God does not define you where he finds you. People do. If people see you on the street begging, they call you homeless. They call you a bum. They try to define you where they see you. But God doesn't define you where he finds you. When he finds you, he doesn't give a definition to the position you're in. God tells you where you're about to go. He doesn't look at you where you are. Stop. So I tell you to stop getting your condition. Stop worrying about your condition. Meaning that stop worrying about if there's nothing on the table. Stop worrying about if there's no food in the refrigerator because I've been there. Stop worrying about whether your house is going to go in foreclosure. Because I told Wells Fargo last year, my wife and I said, hey, you can have ours. Did we not? I can't make this stuff up.
we told Wells Fargo, we ain't gonna fight with y'all no more. We live in Georgia, the house is in Alabama. Let another family enjoy it. Not finna send you no more money. Stop calling me. And look, I answer my phone all the time because I love talking to bill collectors. What I told you yesterday ain't changed today. So why are you still calling me? I ain't afraid to pick up my phone. This is my phone. If you're going to keep calling me about your job, because see, one thing I know about your job, they're recording you. So if you act up, you might not have a job. So you got to be careful what you say to me. So because of my condition, I didn't get upset. I didn't get upset because I lost my house. I didn't get upset when I woke up that morning. It was about 2 or 3 o'clock when they took our car. Oh, they came and got, and they ain't even had to, look. And I actually tried to tell the man, you can get the key. He ain't had to bag up 3 o'clock in the morning to get my car. I would have gave him the key. Man, stop trying to take my car here. I told y'all I couldn't pay it. I was going to drive it as long as you let me drive it. And then you going to come take it out of the park. You got 3 o'clock in the morning coming to bag your little truck up, taking my car. And I'm out the door. I walked out my house door that they took from us, that we gave away. And my wife was laying down asleep, and I walked back in, and she said, what was that? I said, they came and got the car. She said, okay, turn over, went back to sleep. Because one thing I understand, those are things. I understand that, guess what? Life happens, and sometimes we go through things. You lose stuff, so what? The same stuff I lost, God gave me then, he can double that. This is what I'm talking about, our condition. We sit back and let, just because my condition look a certain way, I think I'm going to waddle in it. I'm not going to waddle in that mess. It was a mistake. It was an error. Okay, I mismanaged some money. Okay, I might have lost a job. Fine. Guess what? If I had a job before, I'll get another one. If I had those finances before, I'll get more. What God is trying to do is say, don't you ever change your attitude because your condition changed. That's what he's trying to tell us. And I'm going to tell you what happens. Most times people's attitude changes when their money changes. Let's be realistic. Oh, I got that little subtle laugh. Pastor, you're right. Because what I understand is that when I was almost at six figures. Y'all hear this, I'm going to tell you. Don't tell nobody. And I lost my job. And I remember calling Marlon, me and Marlon talked. I was in Birmingham, Alabama, staying the night at a hotel, and I lost my job. I was making almost a little over $80,000 a year. Lost my job. And the next job I got, y'all know how much they were paying me? $9.99 an hour. And I couldn't even get the penny. It's something about double digits an hour. I couldn't even get them to give me $10 an hour. And I'm a good negotiator. I'm a good negotiator. I was trying to get $10. So for some reason, that $10 would have made me feel like a man. I'm sitting in this room with these people. I say, you mean to tell me with my experience and my education, y'all can't give me one penny? That lady said, no. She said, that's it. I said, you know what? I'll take it. When you ain't got nothing coming in, hey, I'll take it. Give me that $9.99. And what's sad is that's the lowest paying job I ever had, and my son loved that. He loved me working at that place. I was working with Toys R Us. You know the express stores, they pop up during the holidays? I was running one of those stores, and my son loved that. Now here I am making $9.99 an hour. He's the happiest he can be, because it's Toys R Us. He don't understand that $9.99 ain't covering everything now. But he excited. And one thing I didn't do because of my condition change, I didn't stop tithing. Only thing that changed was the amount I had to tithe now because my money changed. I ain't stopped trusting God. And even though most people would say, you know what, I was bringing 80-some thousand, now I'm bringing $9.99 an hour, so maybe I should just be an offerer and stuff. No. I ain't no more just offering. I tithe and offer everything that I get because I believe God is going to work that thing out. And I'm not telling you that it went painful. Don't think I'm standing here thinking it was all roses and I was smiling, jumping around, singing a happy song. I'm so happy. No. That ain't happening. That wasn't happening. Oh, but what I was doing is that people couldn't see that my attitude didn't change, meaning that I continued to demonstrate my joy for the Lord.
I continue to believe God. And at the same time, the Bible said faith without works is what? Dead. Faith without works is dead. And I'm going to tell you one thing that you got to have with faith. You got to have courage. See, people got faith but don't have courage. You say you believe, but you're afraid to step out. I remember when Peter jumped out of the boat. See, what people don't remember, when Peter was getting ready to get out of that boat, there was other people probably saying, Peter, you crazy. Don't you step out that boat. Peter, don't you step out that boat. You know we can't walk on water. You know when designed, this element is not designed for us to stand on. Peter, don't step out the boat. Don't you get that job. Don't you start that business. Don't you leave your house. That's what they tell you. These people in your ear, they telling you, you say you got faith, but they trying to take away your courage to step out on faith. See, because it ain't about you no way. When I'm looking at God because I'm saying, okay, if you my daddy and you tell me to believe in you, then I'm walking in your belief. Because it ain't what I see, because you said faith, we walk by faith and not by sight, but it's what I believe. So if you tell me to believe it, then I believe it. If you tell me to go and do this, then I'm going to do it. So what it starts out slow, this is why I love what the Bible says, that do not despise humble beginnings. See, I look at this surrounding, but I look at this element, and I look at the atmosphere, and I can already see 500, 600. See, most people get into the mindset, and they don't want to work through that process. But let me tell you what Creflo Dollar, I love Creflo Dollar. He was one of the teachers of my bishop. Creflo Dollar, when he started out his ministry, many of us know this, he started in the cafeteria. And when he did it, he put chairs in the cafeteria. Creflo put about 300 chairs. He had like 20 members. He put like 300 chairs in the cafeteria. And the people kept saying, what are you doing? He said, I'm preparing for the people that's coming. Y'all are worrying about just stop looking at us. I'm looking at who's coming. So you got to prepare for who's coming. See, there's a change. And I love, when I seen Marlon, and when Marlon, first of all, when me and Marlon both said that we were pastors, I said, God, you got a sense of humor. Because that ain't what we woke up saying we were finna do. And you know it. Come on, y'all. Let's be realistic. Most of our plans, that ain't falling to our career path. We ain't write that down saying, well, you know, this is what we're going to do, and then we're going to be pastoring. No, that ain't coming to our career path. But I just love the fact that God is saying the things that you plan is nothing the way I plan. He said, I like the fact that you write stuff down. He said, now I want you to scratch through it. If you go back and look at it, God done changed your whole plan. And you know why? Just what I said from the beginning, because God created you, so he knows what's in you. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to sit down. Because God knows what's in you, don't you know he knows what you need to go through for that to come out? See, if it was up to you, you wouldn't have chose a certain way. You wouldn't have went through a certain thing. You know, we would have chose a different path, and that path would have been a little bit lighter, wouldn't have been as hard, it would have been a lot less painful. But because God says that I know, oh, I love this scripture right here, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Oh, God. 1999, July 9th, is when I was saved, set free, when I finally made my mind up and said, I'm done. God, have your way. Never forget it, July 9th, 1999. I'll never forget that day, a day of my life. He gave me that scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:13. It said, for God is faithful. Listen at this. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And this is the part that most people didn't get, but he said, but with that temptation, I'm gonna make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So what God is saying, that I'm not gonna get you out of it. He said, I'm gonna use that same temptation and I'm gonna make you, and you're gonna deal with it. Good God Almighty. If I didn't think you can deal with it, this is what God said, I wanna not allow you to go through it. So I'm going to tell you right now, when you're facing things, stop whining. Stop crying. And if you do, get up. That's what he told Samuel. He said, Saul is no longer king. Stop that crying. I gave you 3 days to mourn. Now get up. He said, now fill your horn with oil and go to the house of, what's his name? What's David's daddy's name? Jesse. Go to the house of Jesse. He said, for there I have anointed me a king. See, how many of y'all know we get 3 bereavement days at work, right? Come on. And your job, if somebody passes away, don't y'all get 3 bereavement days? Where y'all think that came from? Samuel. Samuel gave us 3 bereavement days. That's what God told him. He said, you can bereave 3 days, I'll stop. And we get paid for our bereavement days. I don't know if Samuel got paid for his. He need to check with that, with the work comp thing. And what I'm understanding here is that because now that our condition has changed, guys, that we no longer act a certain way, that we no longer even think a certain way. And once my thoughts and my thought pattern change, guess what? My behavior changed. It has to fall in line. And I want y'all to say this. Say spirit.
Spirit.
Soul.
Soul.
Mind.
Mind.
Spirit.
Spirit.
Soul.
Soul.
Mind.
Mind.
Get in line. Say it, get in line.
Get in line.
Get in line.
Get in line.
Stand up.
Stand up.
Stay standing up. I like you. You got so much energy. Say, you cold? You cold, MJ? Always cold. Say, spirit.
Spirit.
Soul.
Soul.
Mind.
Mind.
Get in line.
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 I like that. Sit down. Come on, clap your hands for these kids. And the reason I said that, guys, is because once your spirit is already where it needs to be, your mind needs to be made up, and everything else falls in line. I'm going to tell you something. Your body can't help but to fall in line. Once you make your mind up to do exactly what God has designed your spirit to do, it can't help but to fall in line. Guys, we control our condition. And don't let your condition control you, and don't let it dictate your attitude. And always remember that God doesn't define you where he finds you. And if you make a mistake, don't wallow in it. Get up. God has a way of elevating you in ways that you never imagined. See, because they told me when I got out, they said the only thing that you'll ever be able to do is drive trucks and work construction. That's what they told me. I said, the devil is a lie. I said, I like being outdoors, but I ain't going to nobody's construction site. Unless they billing my stuff. I said, that ain't finna happen. And I'm not saying that I won't do construction, because when it comes to my family, I'll do what it takes to take care of my family. But in my mind, I wasn't gonna let them tell me what I was gonna do. See, that's what I'm saying. You are not gonna tell me that that's all I can do. I'm telling you that I'm working for corporate America where they don't hire ex-felons. I said, well, they finna start. Just because they weren't doing something don't mean they can't start doing it. And it's amazing that when I got my first job, I ain't even applied for it. They came and got me. See that, hold up. You mean to tell me that I can be an ex-felon and the people come recruit you? In corporate America. Now these people came and told me, we want you to be our HR manager. I said, really? They said, ain't we gonna double your salary, what you're making now? I said, keep talking. Cause I'm a negotiator. Don't think, I got vacation time, don't stop right there. He said, okay, Ms. Smith, we can give you 2 weeks vacation. Well, great. When can I start the vacation? Day one? Actually, absolutely. Okay, well, great. See, don't think because what I went through, you can take advantage of me and that I'm going to settle for anything. Absolutely not. I know who I am. And because of who I am and because of who my daddy is, I'm not going to settle for just anything. So I'm not going to be afraid to talk and tell people what I believe I deserve or who I think I am. And guess what? And they gave me that. And 16 months later, they promoted me. And then they add another $20,000 on top of that. And then from that point on, I never applied for another job, except for the one I got for Toys R Us because I lost my job. But sometimes God has to bring us back down. And he has to remind us that your job is not your source. Your job is a source. God is the source. Your job is merely a source. So I'm going to tell you something. When you buy your car, and your boss come and tell you, well, I got you for another 5 years. How you figure that? Because I bought a car. So you think that you the reason why I got this car? You think you the reason I got this house? Oh no, I can leave you tomorrow, and because I trust God, this house still gonna get paid for. Why? Because that's who I believe got it for me. And even if I do lose it, then he gonna get me a bigger house. Because I hold him to that. I tell God, you don't do the same thing that you did before. You always do it better. So if you allowed me to lose something before, that means that you're going to do it better. So if you take this, you ain't got to take it, I'm going to give it to you. Because my expectation is, I'm going to get something better. I believe God. I look at what our youth, and we're talking about changing their mindset, guys. We're responsible for that. Don't ever be ashamed of what God done delivered you from. Because I'm going to tell you, it was at that place that you started finally understanding that what I was doing was not pleasing to God and that it wasn't taking me anywhere. You understand that in Christianity and our faith, if you're not moving forward, you're actually moving backwards. There's no such thing as neutral as a Christian. If you remember in the Bible, he said you're hot or cold. You cannot be lukewarm. There's no such thing as neutral. So when we press on our kids, press your kids not according to the way your parents press you, but you press them according to the way God has given you the spirit to lead your children. At the time when our parents raised us, they had to teach us that way. It's a different time now. Don't treat your children the way your parents treated you. Because if I did that, my dad would have been locked up in DHR. And I'd probably be locked up. My wife worked for DHR, so that don't look good. It don't look good if a husband locked up and beating on children. But I'm going to tell you, I love you guys. I thank Pastor Marlon and his wonderful wife, Tasha, and the kids. I'm telling you, his family pretty much raised me when I was in college. His dad still reminds me of that, talking about I still owe him for all the meals. And, you know, but I'm just grateful that he called me out. And I just want us to understand something. You know, we control our condition, and we don't let our condition control us. So the atmosphere that we're around, you determine your atmosphere. And if it's not conducive to your growth, then you need to identify who that is that's causing your atmosphere to change, and you need to tell them to get out. God bless you guys, and I thank you.